Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Beverly Cascaden and Chip Haley, sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Hello and welcome everyone to this edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Beverly, or Bev Cascaden.
Well, hello, Bev. It's good to have you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome our brand new co-host to Meet the People of MCB. Bev, I'm just so tickled that you consented to be my co-host here on Meet the People of MCB.
I was honored and so glad to be asked, and I kind of been in the beginning of this, so I'm not new to it, but I'm still a little nervous. And beforehand, if I have to clear my throat, the allergies are getting to me. Went to look for a little teaspoon of honey, and then I end up cleaning out the whole cupboard. So you know how that goes.
Okay. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I can't tell you how excited that I am to bring on today's guest. Most of you, probably all of you, know our guest today. I'm looking forward to this interview. I'm sure that I'm going to learn a lot about this particular individual that I knew nothing about. So it is my distinct pleasure to bring on at this time, Salita White. Welcome to Meet the People of MCB.
Well, thank you, Chip and Beverly. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so we kind of talked a little bit before we started the recording about what the kind of questions we may be asking. Now, we know that you do not have a visual impairment, so we're just going to skip right on by that. So let's start off by talking about your family.
Okay.
So why don't you share with us a little bit, your brothers, sisters, anything you'd like to share with us about your family?
Well, starting out, there were 8 of us. 4 girls, 4 boys. We're down to 6 now. My sister passed away about 20 years ago, and my brother last year. And they're scattered about. They live all over Texas, Louisiana, Colorado, and I'm here in Missouri. And we all keep in touch pretty closely. Oh, we don't get to see each other that often, though.
Yeah, okay. And so where do you fall as far as with your siblings?
I was second in line. Now I'm first.
Okay. All right. So then, now, how did you, for the people that may not know, most people do know, share with us a little bit about how you and Sam had met.
Okay. I'll say back in the early 1980s, Daryl Lauer was trying to get a beeper ball team going. He came to our office at Southwestern Bell. I was working in the intercept group, and I just got hooked on it from there. I volunteered. He was looking for volunteers, and I volunteered. So that's how it started with me as far as beeper ball. Sam, I met him. He just come out of that band just so vibrant and happy and just full of joy, you know? And it was a down point. Oh, this is not working. It was a down point in my life when I started. So he was married to Barbara. You know, Barbara was still with him. But along the way, Barbara passed away suddenly. And then he started talking to me and everything, and you know, that's basically how it started. He saw me sitting there by myself and came over and just started chatting, and we just clicked. You know, it's just one of those things where you know something's going to happen, something's good, you know, it's going to happen. So eventually we got married, which was the happiest day of both our lives, because, like I said, I was in a bad place, and he just made everything good. And that's how I met him.
Okay. So did he play beeper ball himself?
Yes, he did. He played beeper ball with all the others. I think Naomi Soul was there, and Jaco, and Shockley's, and Wheelix, and all the gang, so to speak, all the originals.
Okay.
And, we all had a very good time.
Well, good. All right. That sounds wonderful. And of course, you just lost Sam not too long ago, right?
Right. Last August.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we were sorry, really sorry to hear of his passing. Always love sitting around talking to Sam at camp, talking about Cardinal baseball. I know he was a big, big Cardinal fan, wasn't he?
Yes, indeed. He would sit by his radio and listen to the game without fail. I mean, he would always ask, is there a Cardinal game today? And I'd be turning the radio on for him, and he would just sit there with his Budweiser and just a happy-go-lucky guy.
Yeah,
he was in heaven.
Yeah, you bet. Bev, I know you've got some questions for Salita, so you just go right on.
Beforehand, I did braille out some questions, and the first one was, in the beginning when Salita volunteered for Pioneers, and we've already covered that. The second one was on family, and Chip got that one. I'm down to the third one here, and I wanted to tell people about Salita's dedication, and I want her to impress on that too. I was impressed when she took seven of us blind people during convention over to Cracker Barrel, and she managed to lead all of us through in our little train through the gift shop of Cracker Barrel. Boy, was I impressed with that. Salita, do you remember that?
I do. Yeah, nothing broke, nothing fell off the little pegs or anything like that. We made it safely. We all settled down at our table and got our drinks ordered. And, well, luck didn't hold out, I'm afraid. A person, I won't mention names, Anna, spilled her tea all over me. And we still had like 200 miles to go to get home. That was the day when convention was over and we were headed out, and we just stopped for lunch. So, you know, that's just one of those things. You just brush it off and laugh about it and go on. And we did have a good laugh.
Do you remember where that convention was that year?
I'm thinking it was in Joplin.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead, Bev. I'm sorry.
We haven't gone back since.
They won't let us in.
No, I was just so impressed on how well Salita just jumps right in there and helps us out and gets us where we need to be. And one of those two times we went, I ordered chicken livers and couldn't eat them all and took them back to the convention conference at that time and set them under my chair. And I thought, oh, this is not a real good idea with all these guide dogs in here. So Salita and I we laugh everywhere we go. But I want to hear about some of the dancing you and Sam did, Salita.
Oh, dearie. Sam loved to dance. You know, his favorite, well, slow dancing. He loved rock and roll, which I tell the truth, I could barely keep up with him. there was one day when Bob McQuay of the Missouri School for the Blind was organizing a little square dancing class. We went to the basement of the Missouri School for the Blind for that. I believe the Shockleys were with us, and I can't remember who all. But we had a good time, and Sam loved it. So next thing I knew, we were at the little shop that sold square dancing clothes and shoes and whatever. And reminded me of the days when we wore petticoats to school. You know, you sat down and your skirt flew up. Well, that... I was all petticoat out, let me tell you. but we did good. Sam did really good. We went from first level to second level, which is a little harder, more complex moves. But we were able to do a second level square dance in Belleville. There was a international convention there of square dancers. And I mean, people from all over the world was there, and it was really great. And so that lasted. Square dancing only lasted until I wasn't able to dance anymore because of my accident. But before the accident, I was able to take up clogging. The recreation center here in Crestwood was giving clogging lessons. So old Sam thought that was a great idea. So we went out, we bought the clogging shoes. Well, he lasted one time, so that was clogging shoes that he never wore again. Mm-hmm. I kept up with it. It was me, and there was a girl from Germany that her husband was in the service. And I forgot the name of the song, but White Lightning. We would dance to White Lightning, and it was fast, and we come out sweating, but it was so much fun. We basically competed against each other who can go fastest, and it was a tie. But it was fun. I really, really liked that. And then that's the accident. So that stopped. So, but we did do other things. We also bowled together at the Blind Bowling Lead. And I really enjoyed that. We were able to go to a national bowling convention and also the Midwest bowling. And so we took quite a few trips out of town doing that and meeting new people and actually meeting some of the people we met before at other conventions and whatever. But I was really enjoying life. That was really a good spot in my life.
Well, and I don't think everybody knows that you got run over. She's like the Timex watch. She keeps on ticking.
I do.
Like my sister says, it took you about 3 or 4 times to learn to walk. Of course, there's the first time when you're born, but then when I was 3, I had rheumatic fever, and I was bedridden for 3 months. Mm. And so I had to learn to walk again then. And then, of course, I got hit by the car, and it broke my left leg in half and crushed the bones in my feet.
Wow.
And it was all the bones. So I thought I would never walk. I really, really did. It's a miracle of God. So, and Sam was there with me the whole time. If I needed something, he would get it. He'd make my lunches and stuff, which I ate. he called him a great chicken cooker. You know, he'd bake, grill some chicken in the oven and load it down with garlic, and oh gosh, but I ate it anyway because I was hungry. and he took care of all my personal needs. I won't go into details on that, but he was right there, and I think that pushed me on. You know, that knowing that he's there for me.
Yep, you were his sweetheart. I remember him always. Well, sweetheart.
Yeah.
I don't want to get you crying. Chip,
no,
jump in here, Chip.
Yeah, so you mentioned that you met Sam at a time when he was involved playing Beeper Bowl and when Daryl Lauer was the president. So was Sam involved with MCB at the time?
Yes, he was a member of Wright.
Oh, okay. I did not know that. Ooh, yeah. Okay, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, eventually I became a member, but... He started out in Wright, he and Barbara. And then I know after Sam and I got together, we went over to UWB. He and Barbara, I don't know how long they were members. I do know that they went to some of the camps. before my time.
Okay.
So.
All right. Yeah. Well, so Salida, let's talk a little bit about your work history. Why don't you share with folks a little bit about your work history, the different kind of things that you've done?
Ooh, okay. Well, when I first came to Missouri, I worked for Knapp and Monarch, which I don't believe is there any longer on Morgan Ford. Worked there 9 months. What I did, I worked on an assembly line, putting the motors to the appliance. They made fans and blenders and toaster ovens and all that stuff. Well, I did all the electrical wiring in them. And then from there, I went to work at Missouri Mounting, which they made cardboard displays for Anheuser-Busch and various other companies. So we would take the displays. Some of them were motorized displays where the little figures would move. It was our job to get them folded down and put in boxes and seal them up and get ready for shipment. And I worked there for almost a year. And then after that, I had my son, so I didn't work for, about 10 months or so. And one day, my first husband, John, told me there was an opening. His friend's wife just got on at Southwestern Bell and suggested I go down there and see if I could get on. So I went down there. He drove me. He parked. He waited and waited and waited. Because, first off, here's a little thing that a lot of people don't know about me. I do not have a high school diploma. So I stayed at Southwestern Bell the whole day doing the GED, which I passed. Actually, out of there was a lot of women there. There was only like five of us that passed. They didn't tell me I got on or anything like that. I went back to the lady at the desk, and she said, well, now you need to go over to the next building to Dr. So-and-so, and he has to do a health thing. So I went over there for my physical, came back, and still no word. So she says, now you have a son, went through the details of who would watch him, how would I get to work, and all that. So, of course, my first husband, John, he was getting a little antsy because before mobile phones, you had no idea. So finally, I went there like 8 o'clock in the morning. It was like 5 o'clock when I left. And he said, of course, he was cussing. He says, why did it take so long and all that? And I told him, he says, well, are you hired? I said, well, I think so. They told me to go to 1010 Pine on Monday and go up to the the fifth floor. And that's where they train you to be back then it's called TSP operator, which is a long distance operator, in other words. So that's how I got hired. That was, and I had been with Southwestern Bell for like 42 years. I would have been longer, but they closed our office and moved everything to Alabama. But while I was still working for Southwestern Bell, I was nominated for treasurer. And so I was doing that. And of course, that's every few year thing. So then I went to work for the service club as their treasurer volunteer. And then that's a little bit later, this when they laid me off from Southwestern Bell. And then a few years later, I got laid off from the service club, which they just closed the office on that one. And now I'm at MCB again. It's kind of like a little circle.
Yeah. I cannot tell you how happy we are that you are now our brand new MCB office clerk. We're just so happy to have you in that office and bringing mm-hmm. some stability to that position. Salida, were you working at Southwestern Bell during the time, I guess, maybe even after Daryl Lauer was president, when we used to get those grants from Southwestern Bell, and I thought a lot of that time we would get like, I don't know, something like $3,500 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was still there. And Daryl would just about get them every year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You bet. That was really fabulous. Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was really terrific. So then now here you are. Well, let me also go back. During your time, been a member of UWB, did you hold office there? You mentioned about treasurer. Were you treasurer for UWB? I know you were treasurer for MCB.
Yes, I was treasurer for UWB a couple of times. Also treasurer and building manager of the Hope Building. I took care of the building and all that. I think that's the only other treasury work I've done.
Yeah, okay.
And it's really odd because when I was in ninth grade and you had to pick, you had to have math. You either had general math or algebra. And I picked general math. I hate it, 1 and 1 plus 2 kind of stuff. I hated that with a passion. And it's like, all right, God, is this a joke? So here I am dealing with the numbers.
Yeah. Well, I know when one time when you were treasurer for MCB, that you were treasurer at a time during the history of this organization, there were some pretty rough waters going on at that time. We won't get into all that, but again, you know, with your being treasurer, you brought some real stability to that position. And so again, that was just something that we just, appreciate what you did at that time for the organization.
Oh, I was just going to say thank you.
Okay. All right, babe, you got some more questions?
Well, I've got to say, Salita's also humble, you know, and what all she's done for Missouri Council and throughout her life, you know, I totally respect Salita, and I've got to know a lot of her family members, and we've done some vacations together, and taken her and Sam with me to Panama City, and Salita does have a picture and proof that I did kiss an alligator.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
She's got it. She had it all organized for me in a photo album, and my grandkids love looking at that. And you're kissing an alligator, Mom, Grandma. So, but we've had some great times, and she was on the committee with Bev Shockley when she was chairperson for summer camp, and when Bev asked me if I would chair it, and of course, only if Salita comes with it, and Sam. Mm-hmm. Sam was a big help too, and we had some good times, and whew, we took care of things, didn't we, Salita?
Oh, we sure did.
What was one of your favorite times at Cobblestone?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I like to go way back, when Lee Sr.,
mm-hmm.
his mom and dad were there, and we had the beauty pageant around the pool.
Yeah.
And Don Chopley. And let's just say it wasn't women wearing those bathing suits. And I believe Don Shockley was crowned queen of the throne. and
they brought out
a throne.
Yes, they did.
The toilet, yeah. Uh-huh. That was a lot of fun when we had the games around the pools.
Yes, yes. It's a companionship, you know, of everybody there and getting to know each other. And I think Sam was one of the first people when I first went, that he came up and had me dance, and you danced with my ex-husband. So,
uh-huh. He would see someone sitting there on club night There was a couple of senior ladies that didn't mm-hmm. have a partner, and he would get them up. I mean, they'd be like 100 years old, and he'd get them up on that floor and dance with them. And they enjoyed it. They enjoyed it.
You bet. And what about the times floating on the river? You were always leading us. You were right there leading the canoes, rafts down the river.
Yeah, I was captain of the raft for a long time. Oh, yeah. And then one time I got off the raft, and I think I was on the edge of it, and I kind of slipped off into this murky water, and these little wild dogs just come and started barking at me, and they meant business. And they were puppies. They meant business. So
wow.
we got out of there.
Yep. Well, do you remember the time you were talking about the snakes on the side? And we had to pull off or something and get out of the raft. And Sam and I uh-huh. were on one side. And all of a sudden, I felt something tickle my leg. And Sam did, too. And we both started screaming. And what did you say at that time?
Snakes in the water.
She looked over and she said, it's just a twig. You do?
Yeah. It was a twig. Yeah.
Go ahead, Chip.
Okay, so Celita, tell us how, I know that before Sam, had you been around blind people very much? And then after you met Sam, you're married. Now, all of a sudden, this was like, there are blind people everywhere. how was that experience for you?
Well, I have not met any blind people before coming to Missouri. And it wasn't until I met Daryl Lauer. He was the first. So it was a new experience. I think I was, at some point, I was in awe at what I was seeing, because, I mean, here were people, say it like Beaverball, that when they got out of the van, they just seemed to gravitate toward the field. They knew where they were going. They had their canes going for them, or maybe one might have a dog, but it was just mind-boggling how well everybody navigated. And I tell you what, the top ones is Don and Bev. They throw me for a loop. You know, they, I really did ask them, I said, are you sure they're blind? Because they just, like I said, they'll blow your mind. They just navigate so well. And they're such lovely people. What can I say?
Yeah.
Well, I want to be like them when I grow up.
That's right. So tell me, Celita, from the time that you really started getting familiar with the services and programs of MCB, you've seen so many changes take place in the organization. Is there mm-hmm. anything that really stands out in your mind that you can go back and reflect on? Anything that maybe stands out in your mind that you enjoyed maybe a little bit more than others? Maybe something that we used to do that we no longer do that you would like to see us bring back? So share with us your thoughts about that.
Oh, goodness. I think my thoughts went to sleep just now. Nothing really pops out at me. I enjoy the conventions. My first convention was in Cape Girardeau. That's where I met Ken Emmons. And he and Mike Keller are the ones that talked me into running for treasurer. But we had such a wonderful time. You know, everybody, you knew everybody. If you didn't know them, when you left, you did. You know, it was that kind of thing. And part of that is when I was getting people out of their chairs to go vote, I would look mm-hmm. at their name tags and call by name. That way I could remember who they are instead of just being a face. I can't really think of anything offhand that I would change or add, because you know, it's a sign of times. Everything changes at some point in time where, you know, it's hard to justify doing anything else.
Yeah, yeah. So give us an example of what life is like for Syleta White these days. What kind of things do you enjoy doing? Mm-hmm. I know now that you're going to be busy in the MCB office, but leading mm-hmm. up to that time, what kind of things does Syleta White enjoy doing?
Well, I like gardening. I call my backyard my botanical garden. in fact, my backyard looks better than my front yard. I like to paint. I've always liked to paint. When I was in ninth grade, I actually won the International Red Cross Painting Art Contest that they had. My painting went over to Japan to one of the schools over there.
Wow, wow.
And
that's impressive.
I was really proud of that. The thing is, it was most of the people in my art class would paint pictures, because this was in New Orleans. They would paint pictures of the Mardi Gras and things like that. And here I am, I'm painting a hill with a horse in it and trees and a barn and whatever. And the only thing is, you never saw the horse's feet, because I just could not paint and get that right. I tried and tried and tried. So I just like put the grass in, cover their feet up.
Yeah.
I think that's what did it.
Yeah.
But speaking of painting, I also in ninth grade for graduation, I did the scenes for a lot of plays in graduation. But that is my one thing. I've taken classes, and I don't do so much right now because I've kind of got busy, but I got a few pictures that I hang on to.
Yeah, okay. All right. Bev, if you've got one more question or two, and then I can close it out. So you just go right ahead.
Well, I didn't know if we had time, because I know another thing. She's got puppy dogs, and ooh, you might need to add another hour to this segment here, you know, but tell us how you got some of those puppy dogs.
Okay. The first one is Rosie. She's a black Chihuahua Yorkie mix. I got her. I was watching the Today Show, St. Louis Today, and it was their time to do the little segment, Adopt a Dog thing. And they had Rosie on TV. So she's a celebrity. And I said, oh, I got to have her. She's small. That's what I want, is a little dog. I mean, I practically camped out at APA so I can sign up for. When I finally got in, they said, well, we've had other people looking. But the problem is, she does not get along with other dogs, cats, people, anything that with four or two legs. She will not respond. You know, she'll get aggressive. So I went in the little room and had a little meeting with her and picked her up, and she just nuzzled my neck, and I said, oh, you're coming home. we got along great. And then you have to bring, if you had another animal, you had to bring them in for a meet and greet. So I had my dog RJ, which is a Texas hunting dog. And I told him, I said, you better behave yourself. So I took him in, and I was really kind of leery. I wasn't sure how he respond, and they sniffed each other. They got along. She wanted to play with them. The gal in the office was looking through the little window, and she's like, what? What's going on? She couldn't believe that she was getting along. So anyway, I ended up with Rosie. Next one is Zora. She's a Maltese poodle mix. And I got her from Donna Wiglick saw her on the Facebook page of her groomer that she needed a home. So I said, well, call her up, see if she's available. I'll take her. So I went up there. I gave the man who had her a few bucks. He had gotten her from a senior lady that wasn't able to take care of her, gave the lady $20, and he took her home. He was going to keep her, but then he had two other dogs, and they just didn't get along. So that's why he put her on the Facebook. So that's how I got her. And she's just so intelligent and sweetheart. And then there's Diesel. Diesel, he is, I still think he's wired hair, but he's a Dachshund Chihuahua mix. And I got him from my great niece. And I went all the way to Louisiana to get him. So he is kind of a wild child when he was a little romping little puppy. He would always bring in twigs and sometimes long sticks into the house. He's just hooked on the wood. I don't know what it was, but he doesn't do that now. But he's kind of scruffy looking, but he's a sweetheart. He's a good boy. They're all good. They're all very, they're actually being good right now. They're quiet. But I just love them all. And, you know, if I could, I'd take another one. But Crestwood doesn't allow that many. Three's the limit. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're, well, they're your kids.
They are our kids. They are. they require attention. Back
that
to
was
you,
all
Chip.
My questions.
Okay. All right. So, Salida, I know you've had a lot of different experiences in your life. Is there any words of encouragement that you would like to share with folks regarding any of your personal experiences that you've had to go through, any struggles? What words of encouragement would you like to share with our listeners?
Well, speaking from personal experiences, as like the other day, sometimes, you know, bad things happen. I don't get like overly upset if somebody hits my car or throws a ladder through it. I won't name names, but anyway.
Wasn't me.
But, you know, accidents happen. And, you know, I kind of aggravated me, but I kind of keep that to myself sometimes. I will express myself, but I don't do it in an anger way. And, you know, they always say sometimes bad things happen and then good things happen. So then I went home and checked my mailbox and I had some good things in that mailbox. So I was happy. I still got the broken window, but that's neither here nor there. And I feel good. I mean, like I said, you know, like they say, crap happens, but it's some things you can't control. You just have to live on, try to get through it, and do the best you can. You know, today is yesterday. So, you know, when yesterday is gone, then you just have tomorrow to look forward to. So it's one of those keep the faith kind of things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I was getting ready to ask you too, really, what makes Salida tick? What really rings her bell? So thank you for sharing that with us. You know, what kind of things may upset you and all that kind of stuff. So thanks so much for sharing those kind words with us. One last question. Is there anything about Salida White that really nobody knows except those that are really closest to you? And if you can't think of anything, then I'm sure Bev and I can start a rumor and, you know, bring, think of something. So,
well, I think I already leaked out the fact that I don't have a high school education. I don't have a diploma. I did get a GED. I did go to community college for Spanish classes. And I also went to art school for a little bit. So I've got that in my past. Then, well, I guess here, one thing nobody knows is that I broke my butt one time, literally.
Wow.
You know that little bone at the very end?
Yeah.
My brother in Texas had horses, and it was on my birthday. And it was a barrel horse. And they go fast. They take curves real quick. And that little sucker threw me off, and I landed like within inches of a cactus patch.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, wow. God. You know, thank you, Lord, you know, that kind of thing. That was, but the hard part, though, of all of that was that 2 days later, I had to fly from Texas back to St. Louis.
Oh, my.
And so I took one of my sister's pillows and tried to prop myself on it the best I could. But Oh, that was so painful. But that's a little secret I try to keep my embarrassment. There was more to the story, you know, when you fall down and I thought at first I was paralyzed because when I hit my back and then my head, and then I felt tingling in my hands, and I thought, oh my God, I'm going to be paralyzed. But thank goodness, you know, none of that. But there was another incident. My brother-in-law got me in his truck, and he looked at me, and he said, Celia? I said, what? You know, and I was kind of moaning and groaning. He says, you peed in your pants.
Wow.
I said, what? And I looked down, and I'm just as wet as can be. When I hit that ground, the River of Jordan came along. So anyway, that's also my most embarrassing moment, too, by the way. Just in case you're going to ask what is my most embarrassing, that is it.
Well, I can certainly understand why.
You may have to edit that one out.
Or we might have to add that to our list of questions to ask
the
interviewees.
That's right. That is right. That is right. That's right. Oh, my goodness. Celita, thank you so much for being our special guest today here on Meet the People of MCB. It's really been truly wonderful having you on. So thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that you would like for Bev and I to interview here on Meet the People of MCB, you can have them give me a call, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or Beverly Cascaden at 636-561-6947.
You never know. You might hear yourself next time right here on Meet the People of MCB. Enjoy your week, everybody. We'll catch you right back here next time. Bye-bye for now.